237.
Of snow, part of what the weekend was like for some. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope your weekend was filled with at least some fun and relaxation. There was no relaxation for the cops in Los Angeles. 50 of them and their families are under serious protection. Everybody's wearing a vest, from what I understand. And the hunt is on for a cop killer. And the cop killer says that he was wrong because he's an ex-LAPD officer. Christopher Dorner is missing. He's a fugitive. $1 million on his head. So where is Chris Dorner? A guy who is skilled in a lot of different things. He is a good shooter, served in the Navy, is a frog-like guy, if you know what I mean, from some of his duty. And he also is adept, perhaps, in flying, as he got flight training but didn't finish where he was stationed as a Navy reservist, the home of Top Gun, actually, in Nevada, where he was. And he, if he was on the lower rung of that, he would know at least how to fly a helicopter. That's where the instruction begins, but probably he could have gone all the way up to fixed-wing jets. Who knows? I know that they alerted people about his flight training. So there are many that are looking into flights, have everything, every possible way to stop Dorner if he turns up. But so far, he is the missing man. Other things happening in the Northeast, massive mountains of snow, people without power. 11 people dead, four of those are in Canada, however, and a really tragic story about a kid, unfortunately, carbon monoxide, dying from that while he was shoveling with his father, took a timeout, sat in the running car, didn't realize the tailpipe was covered up, and they say the shrieks up and down the streets in Boston were just unbelievable. That is the saddest. There really are no words for that, but a warning to people in the future, something you might not think of when you're buried under inches and inches and inches of snow and just trying to get out of the snow and not thinking about something like that or checking for something like that. Always opening the show to the rest of you in the States, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Some of what we'll talk about is what I just mentioned, plus drones and the State of the Union address coming up on Tuesday this week. Let's go to Susan in Texas. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Fine, Kate. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. What's on your mind?
Well, I was calling about the cruise ship crisis. The first and last trip I took on a cruise ship was in the late 90s, and it was a nightmare. We were very excited about it. It was reasonable, very reasonable, and I think that's part of the problem. Cruising used to be a sport for the rich, and now it's nearly accessible to everyone. The crews are overworked and underpaid. We were on a cruise line that no longer exists. It was bought out by Disney. And we sailed to the Bahamas. It was a five-day cruise. And they called it the Beach Boys cruise. Because when you got there, the Beach Boys performed on the dock, which was lovely, and then sailed back on your boat. There were two boats in this cruise line. However, there were, in the room we had, which was on the top deck with a porthole, along the wall were two fold-down bunk beds, like boards. We got sick from the food on the last night. And the doctor, who we didn't know was the doctor, who got drunk every night in the karaoke bar, showed up to our room. And It was pretty much a nightmare, except for seeing the Beach Boys perform. And those ships were so old
right.
that Disney bought them, refurbished them, and I'm sure they're wonderful ships now. But I'll tell you what, Kate, what happened to us is when they're doing those drills, nobody pays attention.
Yeah.
It's too crowded. Nobody wants to go up on deck because you're shoulder to shoulder. And there's, it's the crowding and the discounting, the overselling of the cruises. And just talking to some of the crew, you could see they were overworked and underpaid. So I don't think if I want to see the Beach Boys again, I'll jog to California.
I like that. Susan, good call. Thanks for throwing in your two cents on that. And here's what happened over the weekend. The Coast Guard says that they're maintaining some kind of communication with a Carnival cruise ship. It's adrift off of Mexico. There was a fire in an engine room. No one was injured. It's the Carnival ship called Triumph. They got rid of the fire, but it's got emergency power going, and tugboats are out to help them. They're getting supplies from another cruise ship. The Coast Guard has sent a ship to assist if they need that, and that's one thing. Then in Spain, another cruise ship, they were doing what Susan said. They were working on the drills, and they had five crew members that were killed when the cables on the lifeboat snapped, and they went hurling toward the water with the boat upside down, tried to get divers out there. It was a nightmare. Were able to recover four of the bodies. Then three other crew members who were helping were injured in that one. This one, again, in Spain in the Canary Islands. And it's just the latest in cruise ship problems or mishaps. And this was the drill that people don't pay attention to. It's like the Costa Concordia, the ship on its side still in Italy where the people were killed, and there were a bunch of Americans on that. They said they had no idea. They didn't know what to do. They were trying to figure it out themselves and running toward lifeboats when they realized something was going on. And I think that's the deal. It's like Susan says, it's just so crowded on the top of the deck with everybody shoulder to shoulder that you have to, I mean, you're not paying attention. You don't want to go up there. You can't even see what's going on. So how do you protect yourself when you're in these floating disasters? And I guarantee that there's people that have gone on cruises and say it's the best ever. And they'll say that to Susan, well, it's like I'm being treated like a rich person. I'm on the cruise. But I think that's what the problem is on some of them, overselling, and the fact that they're crammed with the overselling and the crew members who are picked up all over the place might be overworked. Now, there are different kinds of cruises. You know, like they have those river cruises that you see advertised a zillion times, and they're smaller boats, and they're going down the rivers in Europe or whatever. Guarantee the tickets are like $5,000, so it's going to cost you some serious dough. The cheaper cruises, like the Carnival cruises, a little bit different when you're taking like a weekend cruise somewhere. And I guess you're rolling the dice. Maybe you have a great time and everything's fine and you don't understand what all the hoopla is about. Or you're in one of those situations where you're adrift in Mexico and they're dumping food like pudding and anything else, crackers, until they can get you to shore and they're going to give you a free ticket. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email. advertise@GCNlive.com.
The president has invited the conversation. He said we need a legal architecture around this thing. So why don't we go do it?
I really do think we are losing a lot of opportunities out there to actually extract people and get information.
All right, two different versions of acceptance or not to accept drones. Congressman Tom Cole from Oklahoma extracting that kill, getting information from people. And Congressman Keith Ellison from Minnesota, Democrat, saying more oversight. Get the legal stuff going. That's what the press is saying anyway. And Cole, of course, a Republican from Oklahoma. And this is the big deal. Everybody's talking about drones. There's been a zillion cartoons. Okay, I'm slightly exaggerating. 30 cartoons in some of the major newspapers about drones. Some of them really gave me a chuckle, I have to say. But it's not a chuckling matter. Congress is considering creating a special court to oversee the Obama administration's drone assassination program. Not all of Congress is on board with this. So we have American citizens that have tried to kill Americans. And when they do that, do they give up some of their rights? Or no, should they still have the same rights that all American citizens have? Now, 18 months ago, there was a drone strike in Yemen that killed Anwar al-Awlaki, an American-born Islamic militant who almost brought down a plane in Detroit, indirectly the underwear bomber. That was his brilliance. It didn't happen, thank goodness. So at this point, Congress is denied access to the legal memos that authorized the strike until this last week. Now, the memos from the Department of Justice are out there swimming around, so now that this has resurfaced, the timing couldn't be better because it's right smack in the middle of the confirmation hearing of who? John Brennan, the guy who's going to be the director for the Central Intelligence Agency, unless he doesn't get approved or confirmed is really technically the word. And Brennan's statement when he was being drilled about the drones, he said, I never believed it's better to kill a terrorist than to detain them. So, what are we doing? We've got the law. We've got war. What do we do to take out the enemy? Do we use every means of taking out the enemy or not? So this is really a really interesting time in our fighting history. It's complicated. We've got the Islamist enemy. They have no boundaries, no rules. They do not care. They will blow us up. The areas that we're talking about, Pakistan, Yemen, all that kind of, that's where this is all percolating, right? And then we've got the drone, the way to attack. So are there two different legal operating procedures, people, for one for regular citizens, another that only applies to the president and his aides, and that's why part of this uproar is going on, and it puts Obama right squarely in the middle of this, because this happened, the al-Awlaki thing, and Samir Khan is the other guy who is an American and was killed by a drone strike. This all happened in his watch. And the links to these guys, especially al-Awlaki, besides the plane, he's got a link to the Fort Hood killings. Remember how heinous that was? Yeah. There's a big link to him on that one, too. So the decision to kill is made by an informed high-level official of the U.S. government, not necessarily the president now. That's what happens with the drones. And we got all kinds of drones. So are we concerned when, you know, there's an unchecked authority to kill other Americans or not? So Congress is looking into this and deciding whether to intervene if they have existing wartime authority and counterterrorism laws are too broadly worded. Then are they going to be revised to ensure that the Obama administration or the executive branch doesn't have unchecked power to kill just because we do not have clearly defined lines? So should Congress design that legal process? Well, you know how I feel about this, especially with al-Awlaki. Sorry, I think it was completely justified. Why would you wait to try to extract him? Extract what from him? You're not going to extract him. And this is the thing. Until July of 2009, the lethal drones targeted people in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now most of the kills take place in Afghanistan and in other countries, like mentioning Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan, that kind of stuff. So presidential approval was, you know, absolutely required to operate in those countries. In Somalia, there was no government, if you remember. Then, you know, all of that changed because of what happened with the CIA and what happened with the JSOC and whatnot, the confirmations of the targets locating locations and all that kind of stuff. And so the problem is, this is, for example, in Pakistan, in August of 2010, a number of civilians died in drone attacks. And they started, the people got very vocal. And, of course, that gave Hamid Karzai a big voice in this. So you have Leon Panetta, who's the CIA director, saying that he would personally approve every drone strike. Then his, you know, the input had not been required since the first year after 9/11. So the CIA process for putting a person on the hit list begins at Langley. Analysts, operatives, and counterterrorism in that counterterrorism center pour over reports from informants and foreign intelligence services, intercepts from the National Security Agency. That's how they get this. People who interpret and analyze and have, you know, looked through the files, have collected the information, have gone from the English to the English language transcripts, and they watch hours of videotape from the CIA or military special ops surveillance cameras. They scrutinize the imagery. They collect information. That's how they get it. I mean, just a digital exhaust of everything. And a couple of times a month, they look at this, and then ultimately, they hand them to the acting CIA general counsel, and it says probably, I'm sure, something like top secret on it. And this guy has been part of this since the 9/11 attacks in this spy world. And then they go from there at approaching what are the kills? Who are we? You know, here's the daily duty. Who's on the list? And, you know, what are we doing? So are we going to argue over wording and what's the white paper? And does the white paper give a nod to constitutionally mandated due process, but discards that out the window? And yeah. In the case of Al Wallach, in the case of Samir Khan, who knows who they would have hit if they hadn't been taken out? I say bravo for those calls. I do. And, you know, looking at where we're headed in the future and is very murky when you talk about the amount of money we have pumped into this, the amount of the capability that we have with the drones and to ready those drones at a cost of, you know, almost $5 billion and 20 different types of drones in our inventory, mostly used for surveillance, by the way, but there are others that are used to strike. And, you know, where do we decide, okay, we're going to risk it, let's go for an extraction, maybe we're going to get some information, versus we have somebody who wants to kill Americans, we have all the evidence, we've gone through it 1,000 times, here's what we know, this person is already tried to blow up a plane. This person, Al Wallachy, has also poisoned the minds of enough people who have taken out Americans like Fort Hood. So what's the call? Where are we going with this? Where do we take this from here? Well, now, this is going to be something that I believe is going to overtake so many hours, so much conversation on the Hill. So much debate over the legal wranglings of how can we decide and who do we propose has to sign off on this and are these all critical missions? And I think that would make it very, very tough because of the time that would be wasted in between. You know, it's one of those things where if you have the shot, I think on somebody like Al Wallachy, I think you got to take that shot. Waiting means that he gets out of the picture and you don't get him, and he takes out Americans. Honestly, you might see it a different way. You want to throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. We're droning on.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Is there a less expensive way to detoxify your body?
Yes. Microplant powder from hempusa.org frees your body of toxins from vaccinations, pharmaceutical residues, heavy metals, parasites, and toxic chemicals in your food and water for around $10 a month. Microplant powder removes virus, fungus, and bacteria while cleaning and purifying the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. It unclogs arteries and softens heart valves. Plus, microplant powder can be taken with any liquid, any pharmaceutical, at any time. It's truly the easiest and most cost-effective way to clean and detoxify your body for around $10 a month. Microplant powder from hempusa.org. It really works. And for persistent health issues, try our Matrix Bio Powder together with microplant powder for a deeper cellular cleaning. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. And see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
You've heard about or even used colloidal silver for years. But did you know there's a silver product that is much better, faster, safer, and superior? Silver that is fundamentally distinctive, different, and the only patented silver since the original colloidal silver in 1923? Introducing Silver Protocol from Neofera. Think about this. What will you do when you can't get antibiotics? Silver Protocol should be in every grab bag, the one product you gotta have when it all breaks loose. Unlike colloidal silver, use Silver Protocol preventatively or whenever infection occurs. Silver Protocol can be boiled or frozen, yet is still 100% effective, has super long shelf life, and will not cause argyria or turn you blue. Order Silver Protocol at 800-213-0644. That's 800-213-0644. Or go to Neofera.com, spelled Neofera.com. Sign up for our free educational email series at Neofera.com. Silver Protocol, the ultimate immune booster.
Drones. So as we drone on this week about drones, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Ooh, can we hear that again?
You have mail, mistress.
That means we have to pay him twice for that. All right. This one from Bob Case, who says, wow, drones, where do I begin? License to kill for sure, but I don't think that we have to be overly paranoid about the drone strike authority and how we're wording everything. Kate, I agree with you on Al Wallachy. If we had a big problem and tons of Americans who just suggested terrorism or trying to whip up people, I get that. And yeah, sure, Congress might have to intervene here and there, but on Al-Awlaki, absolutely not. It's where we draw this line in the fine sands of the Middle East, because let's face it, that's what we're talking about. Well, the conditions that have to be met, what are those conditions? And ultimately, are we over pushing this idea that it's unbelievable to fight Al-Qaeda with other means? In other words, the drone has saved the life of so many soldiers. All right, I understand, I think, what you're saying. I think you're agreeing that, okay, this is a different kind of war. We have this major uproar that exploded in Washington last week over unmanned drones to kill American citizens that were in Yemen and these other areas. But the guys that we're talking about, like Al-Awlaki, okay, Anwar Al-Awlaki swore his allegiance to Islamic jihadism, which we know, and he is directly tied, and we have that information, to the plane that almost was blown to bits before landing in Detroit, and is tied to, among other things, a whole bunch of things, but the Fort Hood massacre, so with Major Hassan and whipping him up and being his guru. How much more do we need? At what point do we say, listen, we have the goods on this guy. We are definitely selecting him. And we're not sending soldiers in so they can be killed or maimed or anything else. Why are we doing that? We have this fighting machine that can take him out. This guy needs to be taken out. Needs to be. Absolutely. And the same thing with Samir Khan. Then you could argue about Al-Awlaki's kid, 16-year-old kid. What is he doing there with his father? Why is he in that area? You know how these people use kids as shields. If he figured, well, if I have my son here, that's not going to happen to me, he figured wrong, and it's on him. Now, in the same breath, as I know we have all these drones all over the map, do I think that we should have drones who are acting as policemen in our suburban neighborhoods and are armed? No, I don't believe that. In fact, most drones are actually used for surveillance, even in some of these cases that we're talking about. All right, here's another one. This one from Ed, who says, wow, drones and allowing American citizens to be killed by drones. To me, it's just bad news, Kate, all the way around. It's funny, I'm kind of an in-betweener. In other words, I'm not really a hardcore conservative or a Republican, but I vote Republican a lot of times. I'd have to say I agree with my fellow Democrats or the people that so many are calling leftists, and I don't think that we should have this unbelievable power to just take out American citizens without due process, even if we think they're heinous and believe them to be murderous thugs. It's just not the way we do things here in America. Fair enough. Here's one from Joe, listening to us in Vermont. Hey, Kate Delaney, long time no talkie or write. The drone situation is a tough one, but I have to say, if it's a choice between taking out somebody who allowed many of our citizens to be murdered on a base in the United States because he incited it, or almost blew up a plane over one of our major cities, or any numerous amount of things that Al-Awlaki has done, I'd have to say I'd take him out. This war is a different kind of war. It's not traditional warfare by any stretch of the imagination. We're suffering because of it, since the rules of engagement, as you have mentioned many times, are so cockamamie already. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to take our drones and disarm them? What good ultimately would that be? The millions and millions upon millions of dollars that have been pumped into these machines that have saved American lives, what a disaster that would be. All right, let's go to this one from Steve, who says, Kate, I don't know if you saw this or not. I know you have a lot of listeners in Mississippi. You might have already mentioned it. But, wow, that tornado, I saw some of the footage of it. It was absolutely stunning, unbelievable how big the tornado was that bared down on southern Mississippi. Yeah, thanks for the heads up, but I did see that tornado. Hattiesburg is where it came down, and the Mississippi governor, Phil Bryant, declared a state of emergency in four counties. Some people are listening to us there. Forest, Lamar, Lawrence, and Marion. And Hattiesburg basically straddles two different counties, and that's where Southern Miss is. And they had damage to a bunch of buildings, but no injuries reported there anyway. The university police just declared a state of emergency and urged people that weren't on campus to stay away until they were safe to come back. The Hattiesburg school districts canceled classes. That makes sense. The university campus will be closed, too. You got people without power and trees all over the place and that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just like any other tornado. It sounds like stuff's flying around outside. It's scary. And the tornado itself was a huge funnel cloud. Watching that funnel cloud, wow, was just frightening to see that. You had about a dozen people injured, nobody killed, which is great. I mean, what a blessing that is. And you have structures around Hattiesburg that were damaged, but that seems to be all that's happened. Tornadoes in Mississippi in January and February, oof, that is, man, that is crazy. Is that a normal thing? I'm going to say I don't think that's a normal thing at all. It's not tornado season. I mean, the weather gets crazier and crazier, and you just have to be prepared for the possibilities. And I don't think they would have thought that that would have happened. I just don't think they would have thought winter tornadoes are going to hit there, and I don't think so. So a tornado is a little bit different than a hurricane or different than some kind of snowstorm or some other pattern that's out there. There's not a lot of predicting time for it, and it's pretty tough. Seeing the damage afterwards, which I've seen a lot of places that have been ripped to shreds, is really, I mean, just the worst. Let's go to another one. This one from Larry. I could barely get that out. This one from Larry, who says, man, this stuff in Los Angeles is bound to be a movie someday. Don't you know there is somebody writing this screenplay at this moment, Katie? But I'd have to say the $1 million reward for Chris Dorner was a stroke of brilliance. And the reason why is because some bounty hunter will try desperately to snuff him out, and they might get lucky. Might get lucky in being able to do that. The mayor is furious, you can tell when you listen to him speak. So I think they eventually get this 270-pound, 6-foot former Navy officer who was fired for filing a false complaint of excessive force against his training officer. I think they're going to find him eventually, and I don't think they're going to give up the manhunt for fear of what could happen when they're not looking. And this kind of a rampage with a rambling manifesto, this is definitely about revenge. And I'm sure it has unnerved millions, I think millions of people in California, and maybe millions of others. This story is big across the land, and it's sad because you've got a highly trained gunman who is suspected of targeting cops. That's what it says in his manifesto, and we've already seen it in action. And here's the other sad part about this. There are families in Southern California. And at this point, it's kind of like a run and cover. They don't know what to do. The families don't know what to do with themselves, and they're worried about Dorner somehow ending up in their neighborhood when they're least expecting it. Stay with us, more to come here on America Tonight.
ready.
And it's an MRE smorgasbord at longlifefood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
What spring is like on Jupiter, in other words, hold my hand, child.
All right, this is just a friendly reminder to all you guys out there. If you have a Valentine, don't forget about Valentine's Day. We'll be sending a few to a few people in Congress on our Thursday into Friday show. But to get you ready for it, how can you find love at work? And what are the top cities to find love at work? Kind of a Valentine's theme. Well, the number one city to find love at work is, believe it or not, Chattanooga, Tennessee, for whatever reason. I know we have people listening to us in the great state of Iowa. Des Moines, Iowa is number two. Toledo, Ohio, it's so cold in the winter. Number three, Tucson, Arizona is four in the list. You can find love at work there. Cape Coral, Florida. Ooh, I have a friend that lives there. Five on the list. Six, Syracuse, New York. Seven, Albany, New York. Cold and cold. And Syracuse is a college town. Eight is Madison, Wisconsin. Ooh, I like Madison. Nine is Tulsa, Oklahoma. And 10 is San Antonio, Texas. Sorry, Matt Johnson. Minnesota did not make the list of the top 10 places to find love at work.
There aren't a lot of females that work here anyways.
I know. I was just thinking that. What, there's like three and they're married?
I think that might be true, yeah. And they all work during the day, so I never see them.
All right, so forget that. So the funny thing is that the 10% of, you know, if you live in Tennessee, Chattanooga, is because it's a top, the reason it's a top city for meeting spouses at work is because there's a lot of workers in industries where people are single, it seems, and this is what pushes them together. And if you work for long hours, you meet people and blah, blah, blah. And age can be a factor because I mentioned some college towns. So that makes, that kind of makes sense. And the idea, though, of office romance is not, it's kind of frowned upon, I would think. The, it's funny, you go from the best place to meet someone at work to the most likely to have a fling at work, and suddenly the most likely to have a fling at work, which Matt will appreciate this, Minneapolis does show up on that one. Number one, to just have a fling, not to find your mate, is Indianapolis, two is Memphis, three is Grand Rapids, four is Bradenton, Florida, five is Tulsa, Oklahoma, six is Minneapolis, just a fling. Just a fling if you're looking for love. And then from another site I found, most likely to date the boss. Oh, that just doesn't even sound right, does it? Does not sound right. The most likely to date a boss, one is Austin, Texas. Two is Orlando, Florida. Of course, all the theme parks. Three, Miami. Four, Denver. Five, L.A. They're focused on a manhunt right now, not a hunt for love. Six, Boston. They're digging out of snow right now. Seven, Portland. Eight, Philadelphia. Nine, Atlanta. And 10, Houston. Mm. And then the, I'm not going to just pound you with all the, I have so much information on this. This is crazy. You know, there's a lot of sayings about the office and company, Inc., and all that stuff and what not to do. So many people know what I'm talking about. The people less likely to approve of office romance, because they're judgmental about that, right? Number one, Greenville, South Carolina. I like Greenville. Two, Palm Bay, Florida. Youngstown, Ohio, old school three. Four, Augusta, Georgia. It's all about the Masters. Five, Fresno, California, a bunch of farmers. Six, Poughkeepsie, New York, whoever heard of it. Seven, Little Rock, Arkansas, enough said. Eight, New Orleans, Louisiana. Can't answer that, voodoo dolls. Nine, Worcester, Massachusetts. It's because they all talk funny. Ten, Providence, Rhode Island. They're going to frown and judge you. Frown upon the office romance. Okay, the saying that I know is never get your honey where you get your money. Not a good thing, right? Not a good thing to do that. Bet you there's a lot of government romances. Think about, we've been talking about the CIA and drones. When you work for the NSA and you work in all these crazy hours and you're, how are you, there's no dating. Who are you dating then? It's got to be somebody in the profession. Because you have no time, there's no time and you don't, how are you going to trust, how are you going to trust anyone not and tell them what you do? You can't tell them anything. If you had somebody in the same business, then even if you're not discussing the spy stuff or the surveillance or the whatever, at least you could, at least you know the reason why, because you're kind of in the same profession, right? That makes sense to me. But maybe they might have rules on that, though, too, because if somebody's moving up a level in clearance and all that other stuff, I mean, I think it used to be that people met people at work, though. If you didn't meet them at school and you didn't meet them at high school, you didn't meet them at college, you didn't, where are you meeting them? The bar? You meet them at the bar? Now, is it online? Ugh. Maybe it's online. I don't know. I don't think most of you care about that, though. I don't think so. I think you're looking for other things from America tonight, but it's just kind of interesting, let's say. One of the more interesting things that I heard over the weekend is that Sheriff Joe has teamed up with Steven Seagal to train Arizonans to guard schools. How about that? I mean, they're really taking this to heart. And I've said this, and so many other people have said this, why not? If you don't have an armed guard at the school now, why not at least do that? So Joe Arpaio from Maricopa County, we all know him, Sheriff Joe, he announced the plan after Newtown, Connecticut, what happened there, that, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take this into our own hands and show, you know, train volunteers to defend the schools against something happening. So they were at a closed school site, and the sheriff's SWAT members were acting as shooters, and teenagers played the part of students. They did mock scenarios that involved up to three gunmen. So you have Steven Seagal, who is known for his movie roles, like Under Siege, if you saw that. He was planning to lead the attack on hand-to-hand defense tactics and other techniques and martial arts things and all that kind of stuff. You know, what to do if you're confronted, you know, what can you do to disarm the person or do whatever to dissuade them from attacking, in other words. You know, that whole thing about somebody with a gun, though, and what do you have? You're armed with what? Better to have some skills than none. Of course, I think the number one thing, the mistake that people think, and you see this in these drills they talk about in schools now where the kids go under the tables, I guess it's better than being exposed, but then they're sitting ducks. You have to lock those classroom doors. So I would think the number one thing is immediately, if you're in the classroom and you're hearing that, is to get out. If you're on the ground floor, get those kids out the window and out of the school. But certainly lock the door. Do anything. Get away from the door. Lock the door. Take whatever it takes, a computer cord, whatever, pull it tight and make it so that it's hooked and there's just no way that you can get through the door, and they'll move on to a different area or something. That would be number one. But then it goes back to the whole thing of, well, what if the teacher's armed? Then already they're okay and they're ready for whatever's going to happen, like in Israel. At least having patrols, because they had patrols in Arizona that were launched at almost 60 schools through the incorporated areas in Maricopa to, try to help, to try to do whatever they could. There have been people that have volunteered and stepped up, and they're trying to offer more protection at not just the schools, but even the malls. So Arpaio is trying to do whatever he can to help train the people, and some people think that it's ridiculous. A lot of people thought Steven Seagal coming in to train people was stupid too, but some of the people that went through the training said it was actually incredibly helpful, and they feel more confident about what they now can do if they're ever in that situation. So there you go.
You will respect my authority.
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get out.
Come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.